home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday to you, my friends. Welcome on into White Sox Weekly. Big weekend, White Sox Fest. Sox Fest at the Romova Theater continues today. We've got an action-packed show for you today. Lots of great stuff coming your way, including a conversation with Colson Montgomery. Recorded that yesterday. It was fantastic as he landed in Chicago, as he is in attendance at Sox Fest. And so we'll bring that to you. Also, White Sox skipper Will Venable joined Carmen and Yurko. Lots of really good information from the manager in that one, so I'm going to bring that to you as well. So action-packed, and of course, the White Sox making moves that I want to tell you about. First, though, Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, single-game ticket presales, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. As I mentioned, White Sox making moves. They announced officially the signing of Sir Anthony Dominguez to a 2-year contract. They did that officially on Thursday. Of course, it was widely reported last weekend, but the White Sox have agreed to terms with the right-hander Sir Anthony Dominguez on a 2-year, $20 million contract, which included a $1 million signing bonus and the mutual option for the 2028 season. So Dominguez is in all likelihood going to be the man who gets first crack at the closer's role. And he talked yesterday about why that option was intriguing to him.
If you ask any reliever if they want to close again, of course they're going to say yes. And in my case, it's no different. I would like to be a closer forever. And that's why I've been working hard to get the opportunity.
What do you like about being in those situations?
Yeah, I like to be there because you feel the adrenaline in the best situation, and when you feel like you gotta do your job, and we focus a little bit more when you're in that situation.
Again, that was Sir Anthony Dominguez talking with the media yesterday in his introductory press conference. He has a career high of 16 saves. He did that back in his rookie season with the Phillies, but Dominguez has always been somebody who can strike hitters out, and that's obviously what you're looking for when you're looking at somebody in that role. In his career, he's got 360 strikeouts in just 306 innings, so well above a K per nine from Dominguez, along with a 3.50 ERA. He has 40 career saves, and listen, it might be a little outrageous, but it's not out of the realm of comprehension that he could get that total this season if he's in that role the entire year. I mentioned Will Venable joined Carmen and Yurko. I'm going to bring you the majority of that interview in full here coming up later on, but I did want to let you hear from the White Sox manager about Sir Anthony Dominguez getting first crack at the closer's role.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to be at the back end there, and certainly somebody with his experience in the game. You mentioned the playoffs. I just was talking to him, and he said, "Man, I got to get back there. It's been 4 years in a row." Yeah. He's extremely motivated. He's accustomed to winning and going out there and been on big stage, getting big outs. And so, yeah, he's going to be part of the back end of our bullpen. You know, on a given day, you know, likely now that slots guys in which we could, maybe have a more traditional back into the bullpen with a 7-8 and ninth inning with Dominguez at the back end. At the same time, we know that during the course of a game, kind of our path to victory could change, and we have to use him in the eighth inning depending on who we have available. So he will be a back end guy, whether he closes every single day or not. That game will determine.
So there you go, Will Venable certainly open to the idea of Dominguez kind of claiming that closer's role for the White Sox this season and potentially making it his own. Of course, that certainly would be beneficial for the White Sox because that then slots Grant Taylor into that fireman role where he can maybe be used in 2-inning stints in maybe the seventh and eighth. And you heard Will talk about that traditional seventh, eighth, ninth potential, which is very intriguing. And, the really good bullpens, they usually figure out that slotting first before all else. So someone like Grant Taylor, Jordan Leisure, and Mike Vassell can all settle into those seventh, eighth inning roles, and then maybe Dominguez comes in and locks it down. Dominguez will wear number 58 for the White Sox. The White Sox also announced earlier this week that they agreed to terms on minor league contracts for the following seven players for spring training, and that is Tyson Miller, a righty reliever, Ryan Borucki, the lefty pitcher, and then, of course, three infielders, Oliver Dunn, Tim Elko, and Lamont Wade Jr., and then outfielders Dustin Harris and Jared Kelnick, who will all be at spring training for the Sox, in addition to 15 players from the Sox organization who are not on the 40-man roster, but include Mason Adams, Addison Coffey, Tyler Davis, Zach Franklin, Ben Peoples, Shane Murphy, Noah Schultz, Tyler Schweitzer, and Hagen Smith. That's your pitchers. And then Michael Turner, the catcher, Sam Antonacci, William Bergola Jr., Jacob Gonzalez are your infielders. And then outfielders Drew Baker and Braden Montgomery will also be at spring training for the White Sox, which is right around the corner, folks, because pitchers and catchers officially their first workout is Tuesday, February 10th. Of course, we'll have more information about that as the winter progresses and we get closer to baseball season. Sox fans, get access to the best seats at the best value and lock in a 2026 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups, exciting new promotions, and opening day on Thursday, April 2nd. Plus, enjoy flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2026. As I mentioned, White Sox young star Colson Montgomery joins me next right here in your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
It's my pleasure to be joined right here on White Sox Weekly. Jeff Meller on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. White Sox Weekly, my pleasure to be joined by White Sox star. He is the 88th best player right now, according to Major League Baseball Network. He was fifth place finisher in American League Rookie of the Year voting. I'm talking, of course, about the lefty shortstop, Colson Montgomery, who just landed here for Sox Fest for the weekend. Colson, welcome to White Sox Weekly. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good. I'm excited to be back in one of my favorite cities and excited to see some fans and meet some fans and interact. So I'm excited for a fun weekend.
Absolutely. Colson, what was this offseason like? Because you had a huge, I would argue, an absolutely fantastic rookie season, but it was filled with a lot of ups and downs. So when you had the opportunity finally, when the season wrapped up, what did you think about the season when you had some time to reflect upon it?
Yeah, so after the year was over, I kind of took some downtime and just kind of hung out with my family back home in Indiana. And then once it was kind of to start ramping back up, got on a call with Ryan Fuller and Sho, our new hitting coach. You know, we kind of just went over the year and the thing that I did really good and then also some of the things that we kind of just stay on top of. And, I think the biggest thing was just awareness, just knowing situations, positions my body is getting into and being aware of that and just being able to, you know, adapt and adjust on the fly, because that's what this game is all about, is just being able to adjust. And we always calibrating, you know, we're always calibrating. We're never one way or hit one way. We're always calibrating with how the game is changing and, you know, pitchers are different and I just kind of adjust and calibrate with them.
Colson Montgomery joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Colson, I had an opportunity several times during the season to speak with you inside the clubhouse, and you're not cocky by any means, but you're confident, because I think most major leaguers are confident, because it's impossible not to be if you're actually going to achieve what you want to achieve and reach the level that you have at this point. Mm-hmm. But to go back to early in the season, because this is something that I'm not going to lie, when I was at Rate Field, and the announcement came down that you were going to head back to Arizona to work individually with Ryan Fuller. I believe it was it April? You know, it was early in the season, and a lot of White Sox fans instantly reached out to me and were very concerned about, you know, the White Sox top prospect is going to stop playing, you know, minor league baseball, and he's going to head to Arizona. How did that work out for you? How did you feel at the time? And in retrospect, how good was it for you to have that little break to work with Ryan Fuller?
Yeah, I mean, you know, by all means, I wasn't, you know, thrilled or excited to go out there because, you know, if that's what you have to do and take a break from a season, you know, something's just not clicking and or something's not right. And, you know, I had to put some ego aside and, you know, understand that this is what's best right now and this is what the club thinks is best for me right now. And so, I mean, that felt good, though, too, just to, you know, that they care about me that much, that they want to get this right and have me go work with one of our best guys or one of the best guys in, you know, baseball with hitting. So, I mean, you know, you have to scatter through a lot of the negative thoughts to get to the positive. And once we got out to Arizona, Fuller was just like, what an opportunity we have here to just get everything right and just get back to being you. You know, it's not finding new things, it's not finding new swings, it's just getting back to you, because I've shown that, you know, I can hit and I'm a pretty good player and things like that. So a lot of it was mental, and you got to just, you know, get back to the basics of being who you are and being confident. Like I had confidence in myself. Like I've always had confidence in myself, and it's just hard though sometimes, like if you're really in that big of a slump or whatever you want to call it, to stay positive and keep confidence in yourself and then also having to go out and compete and try to just get out of that rut. But it was extremely beneficial. And I mean, I feel like this is going to go down as one of the most beneficial parts or stories, whatever you want to call it, in my career. I'm not going to say like it, you know, it saved my career. I feel like people say that all the time, like it saved my career, but it's like, I mean, you never know. Maybe I didn't go to Arizona and I started hitting again and then I was fine. Or you never know. Maybe I just got called up and I started hitting well, you know, but this was extremely beneficial, just from the fact of awareness and figuring out what I need to do. If something feels off, I have all the answers, you know, call it a little blueprint if you want.
Yeah, Colson Montgomery joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Colson, I love that. It's very introspective to hear you talk about it, but it's something that it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. You know, baseball is a game of failure. And maybe, you know, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but the hard part for somebody who is as talented as you are playing this game your whole life, I have to imagine very few times in your life have you actually faced real failure because you've been so talented, but now you're at the highest level. And the reality is that there's no baseball player in this game who can go through and play and have a successful career without having some failures. It's just when you're, you know, 22, 23 years old and you're having failure for the very first time, it probably has to be like a little bit of a wake-up call, like, wait a minute, where you maybe you just question yourself ever so slightly that you never had to before.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, as cliche as it is, that is right. You know, growing up, never had much failure or anything in my life, and, you know, flew through the minor leagues and got to AAA with no failure. And then I got to AAA and, you know, faced quite a bit of adversity. And, you know, there was some doubt in my head a little bit. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like I've always said, is I've always believed in myself, and I just believed that I knew I was a big leaguer. I mean, I feel like that's just what I kept telling myself, is no matter what, I always believed that I'm a big leaguer, and if it happens, then it happens, type of thing. But I mean, it's one of those things though that you see is people. You see, like, you most of the time, if somebody has like a little failure stint, it gets overpowered by all of their success, you know, things like that. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting story. I'm very happy. I'm not saying I'm happy I failed or anything, but I'm happy that I had to go through some of that adversity to, you know, figure out who I was as a person and you know, it definitely helped me out mentally, just being mentally tough. But then also, you know, when you get to the big leagues, I just felt like there's a lot of weight lifted off my shoulders, and I just felt like I could just go out there and play, you know, because that lifelong dream that you've been, you know, striving for and searching for, you finally got it. And now it's like, all right, let's go. Let's do this.
I love hearing that. And I know White Sox fans love hearing that from you. Colson Montgomery joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Yeah. And you came through it and you did so with flying colors because, as I mentioned, bringing you in, you know, in I think it was November, maybe early December, when MLB Network named you the 88th best player in baseball. And I mean, was that surreal for you when you or hey, maybe I'm selling you short and you're like, you know what? 88 is great, but I want to be higher. What was your thought when you got word that, hey, you're the 88th best player in baseball right now? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that can be. I mean, you know, if you asked anybody on that list, they would believe in themselves and believe that they are higher or wherever they put, or even the guys who aren't on the list, they probably think they should be on the list. You know, I think it's just the competitive mindset that, you know, as professional athletes that you have, that you know, you put in all the work. So you're like, I'm going to be the best. And, so when like, it's like when I went on MLB Network and I talked to Amsinger and all them, and Amsinger, it didn't really hit me until he said that there's people who've played years in the big leagues and they've never gotten on this list. And so that really hit me because I was like, I was very fortunate and lucky, you know, to play good and not lucky. I was fortunate, you know, you play good and things like that. And then I was able to get put on the list after however many games.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. I kind of had to, you know, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but, you know, I had to appreciate that a little bit.
No, listen.
Considering where the season started.
Absolutely. Look, I think that's perfectly said. Like, White Sox fans listening to you, I think they're probably thinking to themselves in their head, I love watching this guy hit all season long, especially in the second half when you made yourself, you know, instrumental in the White Sox lineup. But I think White Sox fans are like thinking to themselves too, it's just the start of something huge here. And I think that's kind of what it sounds like. You know, I like you said, you're not cocky, but I can tell that you feel like you have more to do here in this game. Colson Montgomery joining me here on White Sox Weekly. All right, Colson, so you mentioned finally getting the call up and how it finally, you know, you got acclimated. It felt like that weight was off your shoulders because you were finally doing what you wanted to do. Your debut came on the 4th of July in Colorado. When you got word that it was going to happen on the holiday in Colorado, what were your thoughts? And then in your first game, you don't get a hit, but man, you make probably the best defensive play by any White Sox player all season long with that ridiculous diving catch in left field.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I'll always remember. You know, it's an easy date to remember. So I feel like that was pretty cool that it just so happened to go on that day. And then, you know, also the cool, however you want to call it, I got drafted. I was in Colorado for the draft, and then I debut in Colorado. It's like the full circle kind of thing. It's pretty cool. I didn't have a hit in my first game, but I knew I was having really good at bats. That's what our hitting coach Marcus Timms, he kept telling me, he's like, dude, you're having great at bats. You're seeing the ball well. He's like, they're going to come.
Yeah.
They're going to come. And I was just like keeping that in my head. Because, you know, there's only so much you can control. You know, you can't really, you hit the ball. You don't like someone make a diving play or whatever. You can control as much as you can with having good at bats, you know? So I'm swinging at the pitches I should have been, not swinging at the pitches I shouldn't have been. And then, I felt good after that day. You know, I didn't have a hit or anything. I didn't go in the next day. I wasn't, you know, nerves like, oh my God, like I have to get my first hit. Or even on the first day, I didn't really feel like that just because, you know, also my teammates around me, they're just like, yo, if it happens, it happens. But who cares? You're in the freaking big leagues right now playing on 4th of July.
Yeah.
So he's like, just take all that in. And I'm like, that's all I'm worried about. So with the catch, you know, it's just, you know, reaction, you know, it's just something, you know, it just happens and you're going out there and you're competing and He hit a ball, and I was going to do whatever I could to help Hauser out. He's pitched amazing, you know, that game and even in the time with the White Sox. So I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, and also being, you know, the rookie, you're going to try to go balls to the wall with everything. So I was like, I'm going after every single ball. And, you know, I just laid out, and it was just kind of a reaction thing.
Yeah, and you didn't take long because the very next day you had three hits and then a couple more on the third game of the series. So you definitely were cruising with five quick hits after that. So you certainly were having good at-bats. Colson Montgomery joining me for another moment here on White Sox Weekly as he's in town for Sox Fest. Colson, it did, though, take a little bit of time, not very long, but I have to imagine it felt like an eternity in some ways for you to finally get that first home run because you had those 10 games prior to the All-Star break, and then you had the All-Star break come around, and then you were in Pittsburgh for three. Then you go down to Tampa, and you finally get a chance to go deep. And I remember you telling us, you revealed, I think it was after, you didn't tell us right away, but I think you revealed after the Tampa series that it was the torpedo bat that you picked up for the first time down there. And it just, it felt right from the beginning. And it certainly worked because you went on to hit 21 home runs in the second half. And you did something that no major leaguer has ever done in the history of the game. And that is hit more than 20 home runs in the second half after not having any in the first half of the season. So I'm talking about all these great achievements that you've had in your rookie season. And, you know, you picked up the torpedo bat. What was it about the bat for you in Tampa? And like, was it just, hey, this is a perfect fit? Or what happened there?
Yeah, I remember going into All-Star break. I actually drove back from Chicago with some of my buddies, and they were kind of clowning me and joking with me, asking, like, when am I going to hit my first homer? Or if I was ever going to hit a homer. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know right now. You know, I was just, you know, you're just fired up to be, of course, you know, playing in the big leagues.
The good-natured ball busting that your best friends can do to you that you maybe everyone else is trying, walking around on eggshells around you, just wanting you to hit that first home run, right?
Exactly. And I'm like, dude, I would love to hit my next home, like the next day. It's just, you never know what's going to happen. So I went down to Tampa, and I don't know. There was a game. It was, I think, in Pittsburgh. It felt like I was just getting jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just asked Ryan Fuller, because it's like he has a lot of the answers, you know,
and yeah.
A guy has a lot of information and, you know, wisdom. You kind of just want to ask like anything and everything, especially in the big leagues, all the resources you have is crazy. So I just asked him, I was like, hey, should I swing this? And he was like, let me look at your numbers from, it's called a Hawkeye, like,
yes,
tracks everything or whatever, literally everything you can think of. And he pulled up some data on where I was getting pitched and then where I was hitting the ball on the bat. And they said, you should definitely pick that up like tomorrow, the next game. And I was like, all right. And so then I hit with it in BP and hit it with it in the cage, and I liked it, but then like I still went back to my other bat and I'm like swinging it. And then our assistant hitting coach is like, dude, just rip it. Just use it. Mm-hmm. He's like, screw it. Like, just see what it's like in the game. And I'm like, all right. And then, you know, I used it, and I actually used it. It was the second day in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So my first homer was with a regular one.
Okay.
And then the next day, I used the torpedo for the first time, my first at bat, and I hit a homer with it. And I'm like, I'm never going back. Never going back.
Hey, man, it certainly served you well. All right, last thing as I let you out of here, Colson Montgomery joining us here on White Sox Weekly. You mentioned it. You're from Indiana. You played three-sport star in high school. Of course, I think when you're born in Indiana, you're born with a jump shot. You played hoops. We know you played baseball. You also played football. Have you come to terms with the new reality that the Indiana Hoosiers are now a football school and no longer a basketball school?
Dude, I love it.
Of course.
But it's so hard because I love Indiana hoops so much. Like, I watch every single game, like everything. And thing, like when we were going through the playoffs,
yes,
or when they were going through the playoffs.
Go ahead. You can say you're a Hoosier. You can say we. I'll allow it.
I know, but it's like I'm not on the team. Type, you know, I'm just saying like them. When they were going through the playoffs, like it didn't really even like seem real. It's like this was like, you know, like an illusion for all of Indiana fans. Like a dream. It's like, are we really going to the Rose Bowl to watch Indiana play Alabama in football?
It was a
type of thing.
Yes.
That was, they played really well. And then the same thing with when they went to Atlanta and played Oregon, and then the national championship, I was with some of my buddies in Nashville where I live now. And we were all like just laughing because we all took a second. And one of my buddies was like, dude, Indiana football is about to win the national championship. We're like, what has this come to? So it's, I'll accept it, you know.
There you go.
Cignetti and those guys that they had, it was just a good group.
No doubt. Listen, go ahead and build the Cignetti statue in Bloomington right now, because it was a crazy wild ride. And even if you were not from Indiana, I think most of the world was rooting for them just because of where they've come from as a football school.
Yes.
All right, Colson, I'll let you get out of here. I know time's tight, but thanks for hopping on White Sox Weekly.
Yep.
We'll talk to you again very soon. Enjoy your weekend here for White Sox Fest. Colson Montgomery right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Celebrate your special occasion in 2026 with a White Sox party area. Reserve your group outing today to get access to the best spaces and top matchups like opening day on April 2nd, plus big matchups against the Cubs, Dodgers, and Yankees. For more information, visit whitesox.com/groups or call 312-674-1000. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I am Jeff Meller here on another cold Saturday morning. Nevertheless, though, it is getting closer, folks. We are that much closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. Of course, as some people like to say, the four best words in sports, pitchers and catchers report. You have to say the phrase correctly if you're actually going to talk about how it's one of the best phrases in sports. But nevertheless, pitchers and catchers report. It is right around the corner. Of course, Sox Fest continues today at the Romova Theater in Bridgeport. I am Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly, hanging out with you. We talked early about the White Sox announcing the signing of Sir Anthony Dominguez to shore up the back end of the bullpen. Gave you a snippet from Will Venable as he joined Carmen and Yurko earlier this week talking about that addition. And, of course, that is something that will no doubt make the White Sox better at the back end of the bullpen and should help them in those one-run games, which was really an Achilles heel for the White Sox this past season. So the addition of Sir Anthony Dominguez, we let you hear that portion of it. We'll let you hear, though, in full for the most part, Will Venable's conversation with Carmen and Yurko earlier this week, including another key addition that was hit on when the White Sox traded away Luis Robert Jr. That, of course, opened up center field. And the key player coming back to the White Sox, Luis Angel Acuña, will probably get the first crack to be somebody who will be manning the majority of the starts in center field if he can prove to handle that. And that is where the conversation began, as Carmen asked Will about Luis Angel Acuña being added to the organization.
Yeah, Luis Angel, you know, I was around him when he was, I mean, he's still young, but when he was a really young guy in Texas, and was around him a little bit, and have a good feel for kind of the person he is and kind of work ethic that he has. His, you know, just natural inclination to want to go out and compete is at a really high level. So just the person we're really excited about. But this is a guy that can play above average defense pretty much at every single position on the field. You know, wasn't really given the the runway that you know a young player would need to kind of like come into his own offensively. I'm really looking forward to seeing with our hitting coaches, with our program, and with opportunity, what he can do offensively. But this guy has just got a great energy about him. He's a guy that wants to be out there. He flies around the field a lot like Louis did. He's just a really exciting player and can't wait to watch him go to work.
Can power in the Venezuelan Winter League translate to power in the big leagues? Because I know he was tearing the cover off the ball from what I read down in Venezuela.
Yeah, we're hoping so. And certainly, think that there's some real tangible adjustments that he made that he talks about. Swing stuff and kind of swing thoughts that have really helped him unlock stuff. And we've been in lockstep with our hitting department, making sure that we understand what those things are and we can do everything we can to support those adjustments and help them carry on into spring training, into the season. So, winter ball, statistics are great, but it's really about, the underlying adjustments that are being made, and really confident that he's making some good ones.
Sure. Will Venable's our guest on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. It's Carmen and York on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Colson Montgomery was one of the best stories in baseball in the second half last year. And it's really amazing when you contrast it to where he was and where you guys were as an organization with him. If you go back to last April or May, you want to talk about power that seems real. I mean, it seems like he's got it. He put up nearly 3.5 wins in a little less than half a season. How real is that total package? I mean, do you guys believe that you have a superstar player on your hands?
Yeah, what he ends up being, throughout his career, time will tell, and he'll have a big say in kind of like how he shapes his story, obviously. But for us, even without all the power, what he was able to do defensively on the bases, this is a really good athlete and a really quality major league player that has understanding of the game, has great instincts and great physical ability. So, we really think that he's just getting started. And does that mean that he's going to hit 60 homers over the course of 162? Maybe not, but we feel really strongly in just his overall athletic profile and the ability to go out there and handle shortstop for us every day.
You guys went out and grabbed Sir Anthony Dominguez. He's kind of an interesting guy to track. I mean, he's obviously had some success, but he's bounced around a lot. He's been on mostly playoff teams. What kind of role do you envision? Does he slide in to be your closer, or does he get that first crack at being your closer when the season starts?
Yeah, for sure. He's going to be at the back end there, and certainly somebody with his experience in the game. You mentioned the playoffs. I just was talking to him, and he said, "Man, I got to get back there. It's been 4 years in a row." Yeah. He's extremely motivated. He's accustomed to winning and going out there and been on big stage, getting big outs. And so, yeah, he's going to be part of the back end of our bullpen. On a given day, likely now that slots guys in which we could maybe have a more traditional back into the bullpen with the 7-8 and ninth inning with Dominguez at the back end. At the same time, we know that during the course of a game, kind of our path to victory could change, and maybe we have to use him in the eighth inning depending on who we have available. So he will be a back end guy, whether he closes every single day or not. That game will determine.
He's got one of the coolest names in baseball, and he's got one of the nastiest splitters. But that walk rate, that walks per nine went up like 44% last year. How concerning is that? Like, is that fixable? When you get guys that you're going to put in those high leverage spots, especially at the end of games, last thing you want is guys that are going to have high walk rates. So is there just like a little, was that like an outlier season? Because it really spiked last year for some reason. Was that just an outlier, and is that correctable for him?
Yeah, however you want to characterize, that part of the performance last year, we do feel strongly that he's somebody that, we can get competitive in the zone. That's something that's at the forefront of our program for all of our pitchers. Zach Bove and Bobby Hearn and Matt Wise and kind of how we've restructured our pitching department feel really good about their ability to help these guys with their command and really understanding their strengths and how to use their stuff to be more competitive in the zone. So we really think that Sir Anthony and the rest of the group is really going to benefit from our coaches and the program. And yeah, we got to get these guys in zone and competitive for sure.
So you just kind of laid out your vision for him. What does that do to the rest of the back end, specifically maybe a guy like Grant Taylor, who Sox fans got a taste of last year, and easy guy to cheer for, great, great, pure power stuff. Like, where is he in that mix? And do you guys at all envision him as a starter down the line? Because I think it's something he's talked openly about, wanting to maybe start at the big league level.
Yeah, I think that is something that we're gonna talk about down the road, and in communication with Grant. I think he's got an understanding that this year is going to be a building block to that, but that he will be in the bullpen. You can expect him at the back end of the bullpen, you know, one or two innings. You know, he's somebody that, you know, we really feel strongly that can help us close and win games or finish games, I should say. So, yeah, you know, I don't think that, you know, Sir Anthony's addition really, you know, makes a huge difference in how we use Grant. I think it really just opens up, you know, opportunities for us to slot guys in better spots and really, you know, close out end of games when we have the lead.
I'm going to put you in a tough spot. This is like asking which is your favorite kid. But of all the young guys that came up last year and we saw, you know, we saw contributions. We talked about Colson Montgomery, right? You're like Grant Taylor. You know, you guys brought up so many young players. Kiro had his moments. Kyle Teal. I think Sox fans quickly are becoming big fans of Kyle Teal. Can you talk about him a little bit? And if you had to pick one of those guys, I mean, is there someone maybe that blew you away the most as you watched them grow through that first season last year?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I could pick one, and they're all different. I really like them for all different reasons. I think what was cool about what these guys did is they all came to the big leagues, you know, as guys that obviously have not been there before. They felt comfortable on day one. They looked like they belonged, and they performed really, really well. And that's just something that is really rare to see with young guys, and to see it with so many of our young guys really, to me, just speaks to, you know, our coaches. It speaks to the environment that the players have created amongst themselves, the way they support each other and pick each other up. So just really proud of that young group in general. And they all bring us something a little bit different, right? Like they're all shaped differently physically. They all have different energy that they bring, all the different skill set. But the one thing that's clear about our group is, man, they are connected. A lot of these guys worked out together in the offseason, even lived together in the offseason. And so, yeah, it's hard to pick one that really stood out. I'm just really proud of the group as a whole.
What's Mooney going to bring to your team that you guys desperately need?
Oh, well, clearly the power, you know, for a young guy, you know, and obviously, you know, he's been over in Japan, playing at a really high level for a really long time. And though I know he doesn't have major league experience, but this is a guy that has played on the big stage. He understands what it means to perform at that level and the required preparation involved. And he's got a track record of hitting bombs, man. Yeah. You know, which is something that we're excited about, to put some instant offense in the middle of this lineup. You know, with Colson, with some of these other guys, they can continue to progress. It's just really exciting what he could do for our offense.
All right. Well, two quick things at the very end. You can be very quick with these. I'll put you on the spot again. Braden Montgomery, Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith. Can White Sox fans expect all three to make their debut this season?
I certainly would hope so, you know, and I'm not a fortune teller, but we really feel strongly about those guys and their ability to help us at the major league level. You know, there's a progress that we have to continue to make. You know, these guys are very much still developing and getting better. But, you know, yes, our plan and in support of our young guys is to support those guys to a point where they can make contributions at the big league level this year, for sure.
And is Shane Smith your opening day starter?
We have not named the opening day starter.
It's time.
I would guess that Shane will be firmly in the mix.
Love that Carmen trying to get Will Venable to commit to and announce his opening day starter before spring training has even begun. But I think it's pretty obvious, as Will said there, Shane Smith is in the mix. I would say so. And it's crazy when you think back last season. For the most part, I think Sox fans, coming off of the season that they had the prior year, to have a 20-win improvement was a huge step forward for the organization. And Shane Smith, I think, represents one of the biggest keys moving forward to why you can be hopeful about where they're going as an organization. Being able to find a player like Shane Smith in the Rule 5 draft, and then to have him go out and do what he did last year, led the team in innings, 146 and a third innings pitched, basically took the ball every fifth or sixth day whenever they asked him to do so. There was that brief stint on the injured list after the All-Star game. Listen, I'm not going to say that he wasn't injured. It was an ankle injury, if memory serves. But this is kind of the way things work in Major League Baseball these days, is that when you've got younger pitchers who maybe haven't gone through a full season, giving you a full starter's workload. You look for opportunities to manage their innings when the opportunities present themselves. And Shane Smith didn't really have a real all-star break because he was the White Sox all-star representative. So remember last year when he came back from Atlanta after participating in the all-star game, we found out that he was dealing with an ankle injury. So he hit the injured list, which, again, he certainly could have tweaked it. It just, the White Sox, that was the perfect opportunity to give him a little bit of a breather. And so he did not make, I would say, every starter did not go the full season without a little brief stint on the injured list. But I believe it only cost him what would have been maybe one or two starts at max. He made 29 full starts last season, which in this day and age, you're basically looking for a starter to give you about 30 starts. You know, maybe you push it to 31, 32 if they're the person who happens to be at the front of the rotation. But again, Shane Smith never having worked a full season, it made sense to give him that little breather after the All-Star break. But he closed out in fantastic fashion, which for me was one of the highlights of the year. I don't know if you recall, because it was it was the last day of the year, the last game of the season in Washington. The White Sox were closing out the year. Shane Smith took the ball on the final Sunday. And of course, it was a Sunday. So I believe it was week three of the NFL season, maybe week four. And so it's certainly possible that Sox fans who are listening to me right now didn't get a chance to watch that game. And if you missed it, you missed what I believe was Shane Smith's best start of the year. Six shutout innings. He took a perfect game into the sixth, only allowed one hit, no walks on the day, and he struck out eight in absolutely dominating fashion. It got me very excited about the possibilities of what could be for Shane Smith going forward. So as you heard from Will there, he's in the mix to be the opening day starter. I would be surprised if, health permitting, he is not the White Sox opening day starter this year. But nevertheless, it was an outrageously great season for Shane Smith. And I know the White Sox were very happy with what they got from their top pick in the Rule 5 draft. I am Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. We'll come back and wrap up this edition with you right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
Stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social today. Jeff Meller wrapping up this week's edition of White Sox Weekly. Reminder, we're here with you every Saturday morning talking baseball, talking about your favorite baseball team, the Chicago White Sox, even when it is not baseball season. But this is one of the last weeks that we actually say that, folks, because, of course, the Super Bowl week is basically upon us now on Saturday here. It'll really rev up starting on Monday, of course. But next weekend, it's going to be a lot about the Super Bowl, of course, between the Seahawks and the Patriots. But right after that week wraps up, that's basically the final week off for your Major League Baseball players, because pitchers and catchers reports and the first workout is officially scheduled for Tuesday, February 10th. And then the full squad will be set to appear on Sunday, February 15th. So the following Sunday after the Super Bowl, all of your White Sox players will be at spring training, getting ready to rev up another baseball season. So it certainly will be a fun one, and we will have all of your White Sox information here for you each and every Saturday here on White Sox Weekly before the season begins. But of course, once the season begins, we'll get you even more information on your White Sox as we will expand to 2 hours once the season begins in March. We'll call it March. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of White Sox Weekly. As always, thanks for listening. I want to say thank you very much to our guest today, Colson Montgomery. Fantastic conversation with him. Of course, we let you hear from Will Venable, as well as he joined Carmen and Yurko earlier this week on ESPN 1000. Thank you to our executive producer of White Sox Baseball. That is Brendan Riley. I'm Jeff Meller. Thanks for listening, folks. Hopefully, if you're going out to the Romova Theater at Sox Fest, have a fantastic Saturday as well. Talk to you again next week right here in your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.